జయ రాధమాధవ కుంజ విహారి గోపి జన వల్లవ గిరివర వల్లవ గిరివర ధారి యశోదా నందన వ్రజ జనరంజన యశోదా నందన వ్రజ జన
His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Shiva Prabhupada ki jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnavrindi ki jai. Nama Chaja Haridas Thakur ki jai. Prem se kaho, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhar, Sri Vasari Gaura Bhaktivedanta ki jai. Sri Sri Radha Krishna Mukhobinath, శ్యామకుందరాణకుని గిరి గోవిడాని కీ జాయ్, వృందావన్ దామ్ కీ జాయ్, నవద్వీప్ దామ్ కీ జాయ్, భక్తి దేవి కీ జాయ్, तुलसी महारानी की जय, जमुना देवी की जय, गंगा देवी की जय, समवेता भक्तवृंद की जय, गोर प्रेमानंद ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असम डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असम डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असम डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री श्री गुरु एंड गौरांग नमः ओम कृष्ण पदाय कृष्ण प्रेष्टाय Mate, Bhakti Vedanta, Swami Nitya Namaste, Namaste, Saraswati Devi, Simpati, Gauravani, Charine, Nirvishesha, Shunyavadi, Bhashyatyadi, Shatranine, भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमः भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमः भगवते वासुदेवाय श्रीमद् भागवतम् 12th canto, which is described as the age of deterioration. And we are starting a new chapter. I always like starting new chapters. The four categories of universal annihilation.
Summary?
Summary. Of course. I must read the summary.
Can we take the summary?
No.
Oh, you're going to use it.
I'm going to be using this as I'm on the Raghunuga platform today. This chapter discusses the four kinds of annihilation: constant, occasional, material, and final. And the chanting of the holy name of Lord Hari. Everyone say that name?
Hari!
Hari.
Which is the only means of stopping the cycle of material life. 1,000 cycles of four ages constitute one day of Brahma, and each day of Brahma, called a kalpa, contains within it the lifetimes of 14 manus. The duration of Brahma's night is the same as that of his day. During his night, Brahma sleeps, and the three planetary systems meet destruction. This is the Naimittika, or occasional annihilation. When Brahma's lifespan of 100 years is finished, there occurs the Prakritika, or total material annihilation. At that time, the seven elements of material nature, beginning with the Mahat, and the entire universal egg composed of them are destroyed. When a person achieves knowledge of the Absolute, he understands factual reality. He perceives the entire created universe as separate from the Absolute and therefore unreal. That is called the Adyantika, or final annihilation, or liberation. At every moment, time invisibly transforms the bodies of all created beings and all other manifestations of matter. This process of transformation causes the living entity to undergo the constant annihilation of birth and death. Those possessed of subtle vision state that all creatures, including Brahma himself, are always subject to generation and annihilation. Material life means subjugation to birth and death, or generation and annihilation. The only boat suitable for crossing the ocean of material existence, which is otherwise impossible to cross, is the boat of submissive hearing of the nectarine pastimes of the Supreme Personality Godhead. And are we ready to proceed to verse number one?
Absolutely.
Let us then proceed. Shri Shuka Uvacha,
Shri Shuka Uvacha,
Kalas,
Kalas,
Te, Paraman, Vadir, Vi, Paradhavadhir, Parardhavadhir, Nripa, Katito, Yuga, Manam, Cha, Shrinu, Kalpa, Laya, Abhi, Shri Shuka Uvacha,
Shri Shuka Uvacha,
Kalaste Paraman Vadir,
Kalaste Paraman Vadir,
Kalaste Paraman Vadir,
Kalaste Paraman Vadir,
Dviparardha Vadir Nripa,
Dviparardha Nripa,
Dviparardhavadhir nipa,
Dviparardhavadhir nipa,
Katito yugamanamcha,
Katito yugamanamcha,
Katito yugamanamcha,
Katito yugamanamcha,
Shrinu kalpa layavapi,
Shrinu kalpa layavapi,
Shrinu kalpa layavapi, Shri Shuka Uvacha,
Shri Shuka Uvacha,
Kalaste Paraman Vadir,
Kalaste Paraman Vadir,
Dviparardha Vadir Nripa,
Dviparardha Vadir Nripa,
Katito Yugamanam Cha,
Katito Yugamanam Cha,
Shrinu Kalpa Laya Vapi,
Shrinu Kalpa Laya Vapi.
Please chant. Shri Shuka Uvacha,
Shri Shuka Uvacha,
Shri Shukadeva Goswami said,
Shri Shukadeva Goswami said,
Kala,
Kala,
time,
Te,
to you,
Parama Anu,
the smallest fraction of time,
smallest fraction of time,
measured in terms of
the indivisible atom,
Adihi,
Adihi,
beginning with,
Dviparardha,
the two halves of Brahma's total lifespan,
the two halves of Brahma's total lifespan,
Avadhi,
Avadhi,
culminating in,
Nripa,
O King Parikshit,
O King Parikshit,
Katita,
Katita,
has been described,
has been described,
Yugamanam,
Yugamanam,
the duration of the millennia,
the duration of the millennia,
Cha,
Cha,
and
Shrinu,
now here,
now here,
Kalpa,
Kalpa,
Brahma's day,
Brahma's day,
Layau,
Layau,
annihilation, Abhi, also. Would you please repeat after me? Shukadeva Goswami said,
my dear King,
I have already described to you
the
measurements of time,
beginning from the smallest fraction,
measured by the movement of a single atom, up to the total lifespan
of
Lord Brahma.
I have also discussed
the measurement of the different millennia
of universal history.
Now hear about the time
of Brahma's day
and the process of annihilation.
So since we had the summary,
that's enough. No, that's good enough. There's no purport, but we just read. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Gavita Das.
Prinada Pisunite na Tororiva Sahishnuna Amani Namanadena Kirtaniya Sadahari Harinama 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 Eva Kibalam Kalo Nasyeva 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 Gachiranyata. So in the very first sentence of the chapter summary, it was mentioned that the only means of stopping the cycle of material life is the chanting of the holy name of Lord Hari. This was also instructed to Lord Chaitanya at the time of initiation by Ishwara Puri. He quoted the Harinama verse and also pointed out that this chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra will do everything. There's nothing it can't do. Everything is there in this chanting of the holy name. That's why it is called Samkirtan. Complete. Full. It is full glorification. It is complete. And you learned in the previous canto, in chapter 5, who will take to Samkirtan? Anybody know the answer? Yes.
The very intelligent.
I don't have my belt. Well, I have my thing here. Hold on. Yes. The very intelligent. So look around you. These are the intelligent people. They may not have a degree. I didn't go to college. I dropped out after a half a semester. I became a hippie. All I wanted to do was sex, drugs, and rock and roll. And when I got burnt out, then the devotees in Krishna picked me up and saved my sorry butt. So, and Jayadvaita Swami, did he finish high school? No, he didn't finish high school. He's in charge of the BBT and editing all the books. Okay? My wife didn't even finish second year of high school. One day, she walked into her guidance counselor's office and said, I'm thinking of joining the Hare Krishna movement. And I trust me, this is not a lie. The guidance counselor said, that's a good idea. Can you believe it? Yeah. And my wife cheated her parents, got on the bus at the age of 16, 17, and found herself at about 9 o'clock at night at the front door of the Toronto Temple. And they took her in. And since then, she never went back to school. But she now has a job as a legal secretary. And she's dealing with people who have double degrees. They're lawyers and engineers. And they're asking her for advice. Point being that what do we learn from the Bhagavad Gita? That Krishna says, whatever you have, I'll protect it. And whatever you're lacking, I got it. Don't worry. And anyone who's gone out for preaching, you have realization of that. Anyone who's gone out on Sankirtan or gone out for preaching, you've had the experience. A question comes and you're asking yourself, gee, how did I say that? How was I able to give the right answer? It's because Krishna is helping at all times. And everything comes from this chanting of the holy name. This requires faith. How do you become a devotee? You become a devotee when you have this much faith, that simply by chanting the holy name, everything is going to happen. That's called Shraddha, right? Shraddha? Yes. This is defined, Prabhupada explains. Shraddha. Meaning, simply by chanting Hare Krishna, everything is going to happen. And I have seen that in my life too. Sometimes I'm thinking, I'm driving home late at night from a program I've done at someone's home. So it's 11, 12 o'clock. I'm driving down the 405 or the 91. And I'm thinking, you know, it's amazing that if I was to die today, I can say I've lived a full life. That Prabhupada even said at one time, the greatest gambling is to become a devotee. It's a gamble. Because you're being told, give up all this material life, chant Hare Krishna, and see what happens.
Roll the dice.
Roll the dice. But I did that. I did that in 1973. And I've said publicly many times, the best decision I ever made was to surrender to Krishna. And then, when I see the wife that Krishna has given me, such a good wife, devoted, hardworking, I could never have found such a wife on my own. That was sent by Krishna. So, I have seen in my life everything that I wanted has come from what it says here, chanting the holy name of Lord Hari. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Now the last, so that requires faith. If you can get that faith, then you can stay awake in Bhagavatam class. That's simply, that's how you become a devotee. Because you somehow get that. That's a gift, by the way. I was preaching like this in Santiago when I was there for Gaur Purnima. I was preaching to the devotees on several occasions that the ability to chant is a gift. And it can be taken away. Who knows how it can be taken away? Yes, sir.
Offenses.
Yes. So we should not take this, the ability to jump and dance or do japa. This is a gift. And how rare of a gift? There are millions of people here in San Diego, but only a handful are chanting and dancing. That's a gift. And that gift you have gotten after millions and millions of lifetimes. Bahunam janmanam ante janavan mang prapadyate vasudeva sarvamiti samahatma sudurlabha. You have come to the conclusion, you have reached this stage that you know Krishna is everything. And everything is there in symbol. This is a very important point. When I preach in the high schools and colleges, because there are usually many Christians, obviously there's going to be Christians, Jews, but there's going to be Christians in the high school and college, I remind them, hallowed be thy name, right? And I explain to them, we take this phrase, hallowed be thy name, to the nth degree. Because our whole philosophy is God's name is so holy that it can purify you. That's how holy it is. It's able to save you and deliver the holy name. That's how powerful the holy name is. The name of God is God. It's not a symbol. No. It is non-different. It is God. Here it is. Here is God. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Now, the last sentence of the chapter summary. The only boat suitable for crossing the ocean of material existence. So, there is a song that is sung. I sang it yesterday before Archie. Tarah eva vasindure. Tarah eva vasindure. In this song, Bhava Sindhu, material existence is like an ocean. An ocean has waves. So you have the waves of goodness, passion, ignorance, birth, death, old age, disease. These waves are constantly tossing and turning. Nobody has a smooth ride in material existence. Even if you're very, very wealthy, it doesn't mean that the modes of nature are not attacking you. Everybody's under that. So, there's a boat which can help you to cross over this ocean of material existence. That boat, what does it say here? Submissive hearing of the nectarine pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's what Srimad Bhagavatam is. There is one statement, I'm pretty sure it's in the seventh canto, where Prabhupada is explaining the nine processes from the famous verse by Prahlad. And the purport is several pages. And Prabhupada explains each process. And he says that by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, you become attached to chanting the holy name. So this is very, very important. And I always point out, and if you're really chanting and hearing, then you want to read more. And the more you read, the more you want to chant. It becomes not a vicious cycle, it becomes an ecstatic cycle. You become so exhilarated that, I get another chance to hear and chant. I have said many, many times now in the last, since 2007, I brag, and humbly I brag, that by Krishna's blessing, by Krishna's grace, because of my wife's surrender, I have unlimited facility for hearing and chanting. I can spend the whole day, if I want, hearing and chanting, thanks to my wife and Krishna's blessings.
The Brahmacharis are thinking, should I get married? What's the method?
You have to get married to the right woman. It comes from Krishna.
Just as a footnote, this is a very rare situation.
Yeah, that's right. I know it. I know. It is rare. That what woman is going to say, that's all right, I'll work, I just want you to preach.
She's very nice, she's advanced.
Yes, yes. But but I prayed for that. I prayed for that in 1988 in Vrindavan. I prayed to Krishna. You know Tosan Krishna, right? So Tosan Krishna gave me a room, my own room, in Krishna Balaram Mandir when I was there for a few weeks. And I prayed to Krishna that here I am, I've spent $1,000, $2,000 just to get here. And I want to be able to have this all the time, this feeling of being in Vrindavan. And so it was in 1988. It was 88. And then in 95, my answer was fulfilled. My desire was fulfilled. So you had to wait 7 years. So, all good things come to those who wait. So, please, always remember that it all is going to come from my nicely hearing and chanting every day. The Krishna consciousness process is really simple. So many times I am asked all over the world, wherever I go, is there a secret to chanting? Yes. It's called hear and chant. It's it. There's nothing else. There's no gimmick or technique. No. You just chant and you try to hear. That's it. And then you have to just be patient and wait for Krishna to work his magic. And he will. You just have to be patient. And that requires faith. And where do you get that faith? By associating with devotees. You associate with devotees, you will become infected with the faith. I look forward to coming here when I can. I get to associate with Bhadri. I get to associate with Dravida. This helps me. This strengthens my faith. Just a few minutes in their association has a big change and can really help me for a sustained period of time. So stay in the association of devotees and simply hear and chant. That's all. Just simply hear and chant. Now I have a question that I would like to present. Because a few years ago, one very powerful devotee was telling me something that he had read. I'm pretty sure it's in this chapter. And it was something that I never, shall I say, I don't accept. So I'm asking you. Here's my understanding. My understanding is that when the material world is wound up, everything enters into Mahavishnu. Am I right so far? Now my understanding is the jiva souls who are not fit to go back to the kingdom of God, they enter Mahavishnu. So far so good? But my understanding is the jiva souls take with them their subtle body. And this devotee said no. That based on, I'm pretty sure what he read in this chapter, that subtle covering is also demolished. And that it's only the pure soul. So my response to him was, well then, how does the living entity pick up from where he left off? And he said, Krishna, you know, does that. Mm-hmm. So,
in other words, he wasn't arguing for a cosmic reset. In other words, Everything starts, when they come out of Vishnu, they're somehow clean and start over again.
Yes.
He accepts the principle of remembrance.
That comes from Krishna.
Karma. But he's just saying it comes from Krishna within the heart.
Yeah. My understanding, the way he differs from me, my understanding is the soul still has its subtle body. And he said, no, there's no subtle body for the pure spirit soul when he's in Mahavishnu.
Why does it make a difference?
To me, it makes a big difference.
Why?
Because there are two different, it's two different descriptions. I don't claim to know anything. I'm asking the assembly of Vaishnava scholars.
Well, I happened to have read through this translation of this chapter this morning, just because I was fascinated by the whole thing.
Yes.
And one thing that was confirmed, which may not be as clear, but it came up before, is that during Brahma's night, not at the end of life, but during Brahma's night, there's a destruction, and the living entities with the subtle bodies, and I'm looking for the reference here, enter into Narayan.
Which Narayan?
It's the same, I think it's got to be Mahavishnu. Unless it's Garbhadaksha.
Unless it's Garbhadaksha.
Maybe it's Garbhadaksha.
Yeah.
Because the universe is not destroyed, so Garbhadaksha still exists. And everything is destroyed up to Brahma Loka. Right? But his Loka is still, obviously he's sleeping there. So at that point, if I recall this description here, the living entity is not described that the subtle bodies are destroyed. But here you have a very graphic description from text 15 to 19 of the merging of each of the lower elements into the upper.
Correct.
And if I recall, yeah, then the king, the false ego and ignorance, sees the sound, the quality of ether, after which ether merges into the false ego. Now, it doesn't describe here that the false ego is destroyed. And I don't see anything about the mind and intelligence. It looks like the everything up to the subtle body. So that has to be
in the second canto. There's that section where it describes how the yogi gets the mom up and this.
Yes, the yogi individually, the yogi does that.
And it goes to ether and mind.
Yeah, and then but if he doesn't go back to Godhead, he has some subtle body left there. So he has to. What I can see here, this is describing. Yeah, this is describing the universal destruction. Let's see. As the annihilation approaches, and then it goes through this fascinating description. And the key part of it is 15 to 19. And I don't see the false ego and ignorance sees the sound, quality of water, false ego and the mode of passion, and the mode of goodness of those the demigods. Then the total Mahatattva sees as the false ego, along with its various functions, and that Mahat is seized by the three basic modes of nature. So this is what he's describing here. And but it doesn't say, okay, and the false ego is seized, and is seizing in the destruction. So there's something to that. Because I was always under that impression also, that this in the state of suspended animation is exactly what's described. But where is the template, which is going to, when you get activated, where is that karma? Is it just within Krishna? Does he remember? I mean, does he remember anything else? Well, that is a mystery, and I think from this chapter, it looks like he's right. Now, there's other references that we can look up and see what Prabhupada says. But it makes sense because the intelligence, you know, the Mahatattva is all creating all of this, but that's all versions of the Vrindavan. Everything that becomes unmanifested. Right? So if it's unmanifested, then that's, you know, it's an undifferentiated mass of.
So then you would tend to agree with him that in Mahavishnu, the soul is, there's no subtle body.
Yeah.
Okay.
You mean on basis of
what I'm saying? All right. Now that's what he was saying too. You know who that person was?
Mahavishnu.
Mahatattvadas.
Mahatattva.
Which is why I brought it up, because I was thinking, very interesting. Because
yeah.
We had this talk in New Dwarka a few years ago.
Oh, okay.
And I was saying, no, I don't buy into that. And he said, no, no, no. So I was figured, well, now's a good time.
Let me ask you this. Does he have a... Because we all accept, apparently, that the living entities don't start off with a new start. They pick up where they left off. So does he have a reference for how that process...
I think
he... To make his case complete...
Yes.
He would need the verse where it stated that the super soul Krishna within the heart re-inspired.
Yes.
It's not a full case.
Well, one thing is that during the creation description in various places, I remember very distinctly that this whole thing is impelled by the karma of the living entities. The karma can be adhered. It's not in the subtle body. It's somehow connected to that living entity. Now maybe through the super soul, he remembers everything and reminds you of what he's supposed to do.
It's sort of like when they upload everything to the cloud, you know, you upload everything and everything is downloaded.
So therefore the question is this, if the soul, the pure soul...
Well, I'm trying to understand why does it matter? It matters to you, so it must mean something. Why does it make a difference? Because if like
it matters to me because I want to be accurate in my perception and and presentation. That's why it matters to me. So my next question would be...
Not, in other words, it's not a secondary issue. If A, then therefore B. It's just that you want to be accurate.
Yes, I want to... Which one is the correct understanding? So now my question is, if what you say is true, that the soul, there's no material covering for the soul within Mahavishnu, where is Super Soul?
Let me ask you this. As Super Soul came once, why can't Super Soul come twice? In other words, Super Soul's there with us in the Krishna Loka? I guess on one hand that's true.
No, I don't, I never buy that.
If Super Soul's not with us in Krishna Loka.
Right.
Although he knows everything we're going to think and everything we're going to do, so how that medium happens, that's another issue. But assuming the Super Soul is not there in Krishna Loka, then at some point as we enter into the material world, Super Soul joins.
Yes, as soon as, yeah, so, my understanding.
So, as if Super Soul is not with us in Mahavishnu,
as soon as we come out,
he joins the
all right. Okay.
And that may be the medium that, and with him comes all the remembrance of our
past. Okay.
Don't forget that Super Soul is like an expansion of Chiradakshaya Vishnu. So if there's this annihilation, there's only Mahavishnu. There's no Garbhadakshaya.
That's correct. All right. Very good.
But I have a question for you then.
Yes, Prabhu.
If there's no, and I have another statement I want to make, but if, on another topic, if there's no Super Soul.
Where?
In Vaikuntha.
Yes.
Is Krishna not aware of everything we're going to do?
Of course he's aware.
And how exactly is he aware of what our thoughts and desires moment to moment are? What is the medium for that?
As Krishna.
You said ask Krishna?
No, as Krishna. The reason why I say there's no Paramatma in the spiritual world is because there's no need. You're in oneness with Krishna in the spiritual world. So there's no, the only reason you need a super soul is because you have a material body. If you don't have a material body, what do you need super soul for?
I think the super soul is giving you intelligence and guidance and direction.
There's a reference in the Bhagavad Gita purport about in the 15th chapter.
Right, the soul coming out of the body, the super soul merges into the impersonal Brahman.
Yeah, and stays there.
That's another one. I forgot about that one.
There's actually a vague reference in the Upanishads on that.
I'd like to see it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, but the way I think about it is you don't need super soul because you're in Krishna consciousness. There's no material body. You're not the, you know. And I think also in the description of King Malaya Dvaja Puranjan, you know, if I remember correctly, the super soul appears once you leave the material world. Once you leave the spiritual world. All right, Vajri, you wanted to say something?
You were just saying about how fortunate we are and how, you know, a rare gift it is. So, I was listening to a darshan Prabhupada in Mayapur, and it's obviously amongst the devotees, but there's some, because it's confidential, an intimate confidential, but there's some Indian Life member, and just for the sake of argument, the Indian Life member says, well, what if I don't want to surrender to Krishna? And Prabhupada says, then you're a damn fool. So to not become a devotee, it's so nice. You have to be a dance, take a shot of chant, dance. Like, you just hear a chant, what's the problem, you know? Just execute. And if you don't, frankly, you're a damn fool. What can I say?
All right. Here is a verse which I use to substantiate my position. Yeah. The famous verse. Mukti hitva yata rupam sarupena vivastati. The merging of the living entity along with his conditional living tendency. With the mystic lying down of Mahavishnu is called the winding up of the cosmic manifestation.
But let me ask you this. Mm. That's predicated. And I don't know one way or the other, but it's predicated on the your position that the super soul is only necessary as long as you have a material body.
Okay.
Does the super soul, here's the question in my mind, does the super soul have a function in the spiritual world? Negation of a negative does not mean negation of a positive. So the because the living entity is, you know, off in the material modes of nature, and Krishna has to sort of tether and guide and you know, all that there. But what about the positive side? Does Krishna have a means in the spiritual world to, you know, within the heart or within the mind of the liberated Leela participants, to give them emphasis, to give them encouragement, to give them direction, to give them, you know, inspiration? Does he have that mechanism? Does he have a mechanism to know how they're feeling? Or is it all, is the living entity totally independent of Krishna's cognizance? If the living entity is not totally independent of Krishna's cognizance, even in a liberated state, then what is the medium of that cognizance? Now you can say it, maybe the answer. Well, that's just Krishna, he just knows.
That's what I would lean to. I would lean in that sense. Okay,
because I don't accept the super soul is solely dependent on a physical body.
It's Krishna's way of staying with you when you're in total ignorance.
No, but what about it as a medium of the living entity having an independent identity? If the cause is not the material body, if that cause is the material body, fine, I'm on board with you, no problem, it makes complete sense to me. But if the cause is...
No, I don't say it's... No, it's because we left the spiritual world. That's why you need super soul.
No, but see,
he does that. That's his mercy. You know, when Adam and Eve were kicked out of the Garden of Eden.
But if the living entity, I'm going to let it go in a minute.
Okay.
If the living entity, if Krishna's conscious of everything the living entity is doing in the liberated state, in Vaikuntha, Krishna has the facility to know what's in the heart of the living entity, to give direction, inspiration, guidance to the living entity, which you say he does. Then he loses that ability when the living entity comes to the material world. If he has a spiritual world, why doesn't he have
No, but we... Okay, the difference is, because we have a material body, we need the assistance of super soul.
No,
and we don't need that in the spiritual world.
If you're speaking of the super soul simply in the ability to move the hair and to digest and all those facilities that the super soul does, I agree with you. But that's not all. Like to move my arm, that's only by the mercy of super soul. But my internal world, my cognizant world, and Krishna knowing that, that's not the... In other words, the sole function of the super soul is not to make the material body work for us. It also is the communicative link, communication link, to Krishna and back with our internal world. You agree with that?
Say that last part again.
Yes.
The link, a link of communication.
It's the communication link. Now, if he has it in the spiritual world, he has it or he doesn't have it?
Doesn't need it.
Okay.
No. Does Krishna in the spiritual world know what we're thinking and doing?
Yes. He's always, yes.
He's
yes.
cognizant of
yes. yes.
Okay, how is he cognizant? Without super soul, your presentation.
Yes. With okay. Even without, because
then
super
soul. My question.
Okay. Because super soul is simply a reflection.
So here's my question. You accept the premise that Krishna has a mechanism. What that mechanism is, you can say that's just Krishna. It's one of his potencies. That in the spiritual world, he's cognizant of our internal world. Yeah? You accept that?
Yes, yes, yes.
Why does he lose that ability when we come to the spiritual material and need to give us a super soul? Other than helping us maintain the body, to know our, if he had it, that potency in the spiritual world.
No, but it's not from it's not from Krishna's point of view. It's from our, we're the one who needs super soul, not Krishna.
I fully accept that. But that's not what the statement was. And I'll let you go because we're running out of time. But the statement, I just wanted to have clarity.
Yes, Prabhu.
The statement was that Krishna knows our internal world. That's from Krishna coming to us. Krishna knows our internal world. So don't tell me it's for us. Krishna also, that's the mechanism. He has a mechanism to know our internal world in the spiritual world. Both of you are going to agree. Fine. My question is, when we come, when he comes to the material world, Krishna has that same facility via super soul. Yes?
Go ahead.
But do you agree with that? That Krishna knows our internal world in the material world via super soul? How does Krishna, Krishna know what we're thinking?
He knows everything directly. Okay. He knows everything directly and indirectly. First verse of Bhagavatam. So as Krishna he knows, and as Super Soul he knows.
And therefore when he's liberated, he doesn't need the indirect means.
Wait. One at a time. One at a time.
And therefore when he's in the spiritual, he doesn't need the indirect means. He only uses his direct means.
Because there's no internal or external differentiation.
Yes.
It's all internal.
It's Advaita. It's absolute.
Yeah, I didn't want to say it because I wanted to push, but there's no bondage. It's like Prabhupada says, in the material world, it's like water and oil. But in the spiritual world, it's like water and water.
Yes, there's no... Yes. All right.
I'm not completely convinced, but I think there's 20% argument on the other side, and I want to see it.
Yes, Prabhu.
Just one point.
Yes, Prabhu.
The question that I'm troubled by is, how is our tendencies, material tendencies, you read that, what is it called?
Okay, the merging of the living entity, that's the soul, yes, along with his conditional living tendency. So what's that?
Now, think about the dream of Mahavishnu. Mahavishnu, Prabhupada, she's sleeping. He's dreaming this whole...
Correct, existence. Correct.
Within that dream are all of our little...
Correct.
That's the means of recording. In other words, he knows all of those conditioned living tendencies of all those living entities who have been suspended animation. No ego, no intelligence, no mind, just, you know, seeds.
So then you still...
When they come out again, those tendencies are manifest and he injects.
He's like a download.
That's the accumulated karma. He's recorded that, and he's dreaming.
All right, so then you agree with Mahatattva?
Yeah, it's in the text.
Okay, yeah, and that's what he was saying too. So this verse that I quoted from Second Canto, you're saying does not substantiate what I'm saying.
No.
Okay.
He's correct me if I'm wrong, but you're saying yes, it's wound up, and the living entity is stripped of that.
Yeah,
but it's held in Mahavishnu and downloaded when the living entity comes out, all that information is downloaded. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Held by the karma.
It's the cosmic cloud.
All right. I apologize if we didn't entertain your questions. Will you forgive me? All right. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.